Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're going to talk a little bit today about, believe it or not, we're going to get way off of everything the political that we've been talking about. We're going to talk about Spider-Man. The movie's been out for a while, but you probably didn't know, I didn't know, that there are some controversial aspects to the movie. It seems like every movie that comes out that is popular, there are at least one or two controversial aspects, or at least that some people find controversial about the movie. The Spider-Man movie, if you didn't see it, has a theme, believe it or not, of celibacy in it. Chris Norton is a telemarketer from Manhattan Beach. He's also an aspiring screenwriter and has taken part in a number of roundtables on screenwriting and bringing screenwriting into the 21st century. And Chris joins us from Manhattan Beach, California. Chris, how are you?
Yes, sir, I'm fine.
Chris, you think that there's an anti-sex message in Spider-Man?
Yes, sir. I think anybody who has seen the movie knows what I'm talking about. In the movie, Spider-Man chooses at the very end of the movie to walk away from the girl that he has loved since he was 6 years old. He chooses his life of duty to fight crime above his desire to have sex with his love. And her name in the movie, by the way, is MJ. She's played by Kirsten Dunst, who's very hot. There's a scene where it's raining, and she's wearing a kind of a thin top, so it's all wet, and you can see everything. And it's hot. And
to you, this is a message of celibacy.
Oh, absolutely, it's a message of celibacy. He's saying to a girl that he thought was hot since he was six, no, I'm not going to have sex with you. I'm going to walk away, because it's better to fight crime.
But the kids who go to this movie are just that, they're kids.
I believe that the message of celibacy is wrong, though.
No, but the kids who go to this movie are just that, they're kids. So maybe the message of celibacy is a positive message for them to stay celibate.
That's true, but look at what celibacy has done. And here's, I think, we got to get down to what my father used to call brass tacks. The message of celibacy, look what it has done to the priests who have been convicted of fondling children. So you now have a generation of kids who will think it's cool to be Spider-Man, and because Spider-Man is celibate, they might get the message that somehow in their minds that it's all right to fondle little kids.
You really think that they'll make that leap?
I'm very disturbed about a priest and what we have seen in the Revelations. And Spider-Man comes out at a very wrong time. It comes out at a time where we've had the priests, and the message of celibacy is basically it's okay to fondle little kids, and Spider-Man gives a message of celibacy. I see a continuum there, Mr. Hendry, and I see it's all very, very much connected. Number two, there is a larger issue, I think, and that is the $10 billion a year adult film industry that relies on people on people's sexual curiosity. Promoting a life of celibacy beyond priests jeopardizes an enormous industry. That's a lot of jobs, a lot of mouths to feed.
Well, let me go back to your first point that celibacy leads to child molestation. In the movie Spider-Man says, with great power comes great responsibility. Isn't that a positive message?
Well, it sounds to me more like with great power comes a greater chance of putting your hand down a little kid's pants. So no, this is anti-sex, and it is wrong. And
all right, then to your second point about the adult film business suffering a drop-off because of all of the celibacy, do you really think that's likely?
I don't know. I mean, all I know is a lot of my friends are in the adult film business. I've been on a lot of the sets. I've talked with the actors. I've even had hopes myself of getting into the film business one day, and I've got two meetings scheduled for next week, a matter of fact, and I know a lot of my friends who are in the adult film business could be very hurt badly by kids not having sex.
So now you have a solution, and I know that you have sent some pictures into to the producers.
Well, I know that Spider-Man 2 has already been shot, but my solution is to sexualize Spider-Man to some degree. I don't think to a great degree, but I think to some degree. If you look at Tobey Maguire in the movie, who plays Spider-Man, it looks like they've taped him down. And I have sent Sam Raimi pictures of myself in a Spider-Man outfit. I'm not trying to be Spider-Man, but I've sent examples of what Spider-Man, a sexualized Spider-Man, looks like. And I know you have the pictures there.
Well, I'm looking at pictures of you. Is this you in the Spider-Man outfit?
Yes, sir. I mean, Tobey Maguire almost looks like a girl in a costume. That's how not much of him that you see.
Okay, I want to give our number out, and then I want to comment on these pictures, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton, an aspiring screenwriter, talking about the anti-sex message in Spider-Man, where he is choosing a life of celibacy. And Mr. Norton believes that that message will lead children to believe that it's all right to fondle kids. Plus, it'll impact the adult film business, a $10 billion a year business, and there are a lot of mouths to feed there. Now, I'm looking at pictures of you in a Spider-Man costume. You are wearing a suit. There's a front view of you.
Yes, sir. It's a front view of me, and it's obvious that when you look at me in the outfit, I mean, you can see it right there, I have very obvious manhood. My manhood is obvious, especially in the profile shots, and there's one where my manhood is obvious in the full frontal view. I'm not saying I'm Spider-Man, okay? But I am saying I could help take away the confusion that Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man left kids with, a guy who doesn't have sex and isn't interested in sex, and therefore promotes celibacy, which can be construed, you know,
which can be construed to mean fondling kids.
That's right, because of the message that the priests have left. I'm very, very concerned about what the priests done. And if in Spider-Man they give the same message...
Well, Spider-Man is not, let's be clear, is not promoting child molestation.
No, not overtly, but they are promoting no sex. Okay, at the very end, he says, I'm not going to have sex. Now, this girl that we're talking about, I'm very fearful we'll have a new generation of child molestations because of this movie.
Yeah, but I want to say again, they're not promoting that in the movie.
No, but at the end of the movie, Kirsten Dunst, in one scene, it's raining, and you can see everything because her clothes are clinging to her. You see everything, and it's very hot. It's very romantic. It's the part...
Yeah, I know. It's the part where he comes down and he kisses her, and it's a very romantic kiss.
It's more than a romantic kiss. It's hot. I mean, and you can see everything because the rain makes her clothes wet. And he, at the end of the movie, says, no thank you, I'm sure. And that's what troubles me. It's anti-sex.
All right. 1-800-449-8686 is the number in the Phil Hendry Show. Mr. Norton, do you believe children should have sex?
I think that's an unfair question to ask me, given the fact that I haven't said that. What I am saying is that kids who go see Spider-Man are getting message early that celibacy is preferable. And right now, I'm really concerned with the priests and how they fondle kids.
And what about your comment when in the movie it says, with great power comes great responsibility. You say with great power comes a bigger chance of you putting your hand down a kid's pants.
Well, that's what it says to me. If I was a kid and I went to Spider-Man and I seen them say no sex, I would say, oh, you mean like the priests? And they're the ones that are crotch fondling or whatever you want to call it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Christopher Norton, aspiring screenwriter. And you have sent these photos to the director, Sam Raimi?
Yes, sir. That's the ones of me where you can see my manhood. And that is just a slight sexualization of the character.
Let me go over to Carrie on the Phil Hendry Show. Carrie, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes,
just
ma'am.
Took my kids this weekend to see Spider-Man. I have a 19-year-old son, and I have a 14-year-old daughter, and not one time did any of us look at his crotch or think that he was more or less of a man. We were watching the story of a cartoon character brought to life, and I don't understand what his drive is just to look at this guy's crotch.
Oh, I'm not
and
saying.
And I look, don't think.
I'm saying there's no sexual message in the film. The message is celibacy.
The reason he walked away from his girlfriend was not because he didn't want to have sex with her. It's because he was protecting her from people who wanted to hurt her, like the Green Goblin would have hurt her.
No.
So he gave up
what
he thinks is going to be his love so that he can protect those people he loves.
But he was hot for her.
Yeah, but doesn't he say in the movie...
It doesn't matter if he's hot for her. That wasn't the point. The point was he did it for love. That was a romantic thing, not a sexual thing. Oh, my gosh.
All right, now
and I don't know what to do. I don't think celibacy leads to homophobia or...
Yeah. Okay, that's a legitimate statement. But the message that we're getting in society right now is that celibacy does lead to child fondlement and the incidence of fondlement that we've seen. A child goes to see Spider-Man and sees that there is an anti-sex message.
But that's not what this lady's saying. She's saying it's not an anti-sex message. It's more of a protection message that he says in the movie, everyone that I've ever loved winds up getting hurt. Okay.
So that's
what an adult takes away from it. But what a child takes away from it, from all the anti-sex messages in school, is no sex is good.
Okay, number one, what would have done to have these two have sex? It would have added to the story at that point. These two really had just developed a relationship. I thought it was more mature that they are going to go on and have Spider-Man 2, 3, and 4 develop something. I don't think, you know, in the comic books they get married.
Well, that's in the comic book, but that the
I don't know why we're comparing Spider-Man to priests. These priests who are doing this stuff are sick people, and I don't think it's necessarily because they're celibate.
Okay, but the comic book is out the window. What we got to talk about is the millions and billions of kids that the movie's going to reach. It's a whole new franchise, the movie. It's a whole new story, the movie. I mean, in the comic book, Peter Parker is a clone, okay? But in the movie, it's a whole new franchise. And what we're getting here is, I know you're hot. Yeah, I could see everything when, even though he was upside down, he could see everything in the rain scene. You know what? I'm not going to have sex with you. That's what the message is.
I was watching a whole different movie than you were, buddy.
You didn't see the rain scene.
Thank goodness I wasn't watching the same movie you were.
You didn't see the rain scene where she was wet? You didn't see the rain scene where she was wet?
I saw the rain scene. She was about to be raped by four guys.
Yeah,
it was
she's all wet.
Oh my gosh.
No one else in the world is celibate but priests.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
Do you think of anything besides sex?
Excuse me. The film has everything that you can see, nipple and everything.
I saw the scene in the alley where she's wet, and yeah, her breasts are very evident, okay?
Well, that's a very polite way of saying that you could see nipple. And the fact that he did not respond to that.
I guess it's because I'm a woman.
Prophecy.
I just didn't notice. I'm sorry.
There's a saying that a lot of kids use called her high beams were shining. Okay? And, you know, that's what, you know, okay, if you're the mother of a son, you know.
I am.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
There was no doubt that there was nippage, and I will say it again, I'm very, very, even if the parents out there listening right now, Mr. Henry, are not concerned about priests, okay, you know, fondling and with their hands down in some child's crotch. Even the parents listening right now are not concerned. I'm very concerned. And the message that the Spider-Man, that you could see her nipples and he doesn't do anything, sends the message that celibacy is cool and that it's okay to have your hand down any pair of slacks, no matter what the size. And that's why I sent the pictures off to Mr. Ramey.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. It's difficult for me to listen to a guy say he's concerned about children being fondled, and on the other edge of it, he says the Spider-Man movie, therefore, must have more sexualization because the message of celibacy that the Spider-Man movie sends ultimately leads kids to believe that celibacy is cool, and therefore they're going to want to act like priests who fondle kids. And that's his fear. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. And what Mr. Norton is also saying is he'd like to see the Spider-Man movie sexualized, and that is show some evident manhood in the Spider-Man character. That's why he sent pictures of himself. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. This is The Phil Henry Show. Let's go to Melina. Melina, hi. You're on The Phil Henry Show with Chris Norton, aspiring screenwriter on the Spider-Man movie. Go ahead, Melina.
Yes. The guy that you were interviewing and gave him all that time, I think he is a disturbed man. And the only reason I'm saying that...
Ma'am, you're talking to me right now.
I am talking to you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you were disturbed.
Well...
You're very disturbed.
I'm sitting here talking about how...
You're so concerned that she was hot, hot, hot.
I'm talking about protecting children.
You want to be in the business, so you want everything to be filthy and dirty.
No, ma'am. I want to protect children from getting molested.
Children are getting molested by Spider-Man, by just
no,
going
they're getting molested.
Spider-Man?
Yes.
Those are two different
the priests. The priests are
the
celibate.
The priests are doing what they're doing.
Aren't the priests celibate? Yes.
They're not doing
they
it because
fondle?
You're celibate.
What?
Because they can go and have relations
did you see Spider-Man?
With another woman or with another adult.
Did you see Spider-Man?
Yes, I did see Spider-Man.
Okay, at the very end, even though she's hot as hell, you got to admit,
there
you
go
see
again. There hot as hell.
She was. I mean, are you telling me you couldn't see everything?
She was very attractive. You know what?
You couldn't
the
see everything.
The reason he walked away, it was because he wanted to protect her. Not because he's celibate and he wants to give impression of celibacy to children. It's okay to
okay,
see.
did he have sex at all in the movie? No. Did he have sex with her even though she's
why
hot?
Why has to be
no.
sex in everything we see?
Because he was hot.
No.
You saw a nipple.
We take our children
didn't you see nipple?
To movies and you we don't want to show them that everything has to be about sex.
But Melina,
they show to respect.
Melina, didn't you see, you saw a nipple, right? Yes or no?
I saw nipples.
Okay, thank you very much.
I
God,
see nipples
geez.
Most of the time.
No, I'm talking about it in the movie. Okay?
What is it, nipples?
Nipples, there was a
you
nipple
have a
shot.
Thing with nipples.
There was a nipple shot in the movie.
Meaning what?
Meaning there was sex in the movie. So why didn't he have sex? Because the message was, sex is bad.
The
now,
message wasn't
I have
that
a
sex
lot,
was bad.
I have a lot
they
of friends.
They didn't want to go too far into it because the movie is made for children.
I have
you,
a lot of friends.
It's a family movie.
Do you?
It's not a porno movie like you're going to do.
No.
Okay?
How am I
you're
gonna
interested
make it?
In pornography? Then you, and where was interested in pornography, then you expect to see nipples? And
yes,
you
ma'am.
Expect to see your manhood?
Ma'am,
that's a family movie.
Ma'am, all I'm saying
you
is...
You take children. You don't need to see sex every movie you go to. And I tell you, you piss me off.
Well,
all you have to say, she's hot, she's hot, she's hot.
She
you
want to
have
hot.
Sex with her?
She's very hot.
Do you want to have sex with her?
I wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating crackers.
Yeah, well, she won't kick you.
Well, let me say something, okay? Because all you've done is insult me, and all I want to do is keep from fondlement. There has been a high incidence of priest fondlement. And I want to keep it down.
You want to keep it down?
Yeah.
You don't listen to yourself.
What did I say? I'm saying...
You want to keep it down
I
by
have a...
sex, by showing kids in Spider-Man if there was sex.
What?
You... What?
What did
you're
you say?
Saying that if there was... If Spider-Man would have sex with the girl, this fondles with children would never happen again.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Well,
no.
Okay, here's what I think.
No.
Okay, I
no.
got a lot of friends in the adult film business, okay? And
yeah,
if
heard.
You have people, because I'm also going to be interviewed in 2 weeks about being in an adult film myself.
And I'm sure I will not go and see that movie.
What? Hey, all I'm saying is...
What are you guys saying?
I'm saying...
You're saying
that
nothing.
If people are celibate... The $10 billion a year adult film industry.
That's what
that
you're
relies,
concerned with.
No, I'm not. I'm,
yes,
I'm concerned.
You are. You're concerned that you're going to lose. People like you are going to lose.
I don't care.
That's what your concern is.
I don't
not
care.
Not the children.
I don't care, but I said...
Or not the priest, what you're doing.
You should
you're
see a picture of me.
That you lose some business.
You should see a picture of me, okay? You can see my manhood.
I don't want to see a picture of you.
Oh, you can see my manhood. And
your manhood?
I have
it's like any other manhood.
I have a large manhood, though.
Yeah, well, to stick it up your ass.
Yeah, okay,
if you
well.
Can reach it.
Yeah, well, you know what? If you saw me, you'd think I was very hot and you'd want to have sex.
That's what you'll say.
Well,
okay, thank you.
All I think
all right,
is you're disgusting
you very much.
No,
and you're a pervert.
No. Ma'am, I have a very big manhood like an armadillo.
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Spider-Man movie sends a message of celibacy, according to this man, and it's a bad message to send. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Len, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Chris Norton, screenwriter.
Thanks, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Norton, you know, it occurs to me that, you know, celibacy does not lead to pedophilia. If anything, the priesthood maybe has become like a rest area that has become a safe haven for pedophiliacs, but, you know, I think you're mixing up some issues.
Well, I mean,
there.
I'm very concerned about these people as celibate because all they ever do is fondle kids.
Well, you're talking to someone who's been celibate for about 4 years, and I have no desire to fondle any children at all.
You're not a priest.
Well, again, okay. I think, you know, you get a rest stop that becomes known in that community as being a safe haven, and this has been long-term with the priesthood over, you know, 30, 40 years, and it's become a safe haven.
Well, I don't think that...
Sure, you've got a real problem there, but that doesn't mean that all priests have the tendency to want to fondle our children.
Well, I think that you're an adult, but you're talking about children who go to see the Spider-Man movie, and they see... Why are you celibate?
Just personal choice. Didn't want to get back into a bad relationship or recreate what I'd been in.
How can you not have sex?
It's not that hard. You know, you kind of get used to it, and you find there's some real benefits to getting to know yourself and not being distracted from yourself and being involved in bad relationships.
You know,
it's a personal choice.
I'm very sensual, and I got to have it. I mean, I don't know about you.
Well, maybe if you went without it for a while, you'd start to get to know yourself better, and maybe you have tendencies yourself somewhere in there. I don't know.
Oh, it sounds like I have sex and you don't. Because I have sex and you don't. Now you want to make me into a fondler.
Well, I'm hearing a few things. Other things you're saying too,
like
Spider-Man promoting celibacy. You know, which I don't think is a bad thing.
Well, no,
and
you don't.
I took my 10-year-old daughter to this movie, and I did not see.
You don't have need to have sex. But I have.
Pardon me?
You don't have no need to have sex. I'm very sensual, and I'm not saying this. I'm not trying to, you know, say I'm great or anything. But I've had sex with probably 3,000 women.
Well, see, now you probably could do some counseling in that area, sir.
Why? It's great. It feels good.
Well, you not only put yourself at risk, you put other people at risk.
I'd like to ask you something. You don't have sex. I mean, how do you take care of it? Do you wax it or what?
Well, how many communicable diseases have you had in your life, sir?
I had gonorrhea when I was 16, but I learned.
And you're probably lucky it wasn't AIDS, and you probably have the genital warts and all that type of thing going on, too.
Yes,
and
I do.
You put people at risk.
Do you have herpes?
That's a pretty bad... I've never had a communicable disease.
I have herpes, yeah. I have herpes, I have genital warts, and I have had gonorrhea, but that's it.
That's just wonderful. And
what's that supposed to mean?
And you're probably one of those people that doesn't tell your partner about those things before you hop in the sack with them.
I wear a condom.
Well, those are really foolproof, aren't they?
Well, I mean, fact is, I think, and I'm not trying to put you down or nothing, but I think it's kind of weird that you don't like to have no sex.
I didn't say I didn't desire it. I said I have chosen not to do that at this time in my life.
I think I know what's going on with you. Are you afraid of sex?
I don't think you know what's going on at all.
Are you afraid of women?
Not at all.
Wait a minute. This is not about Len.
Wonderful relationships with women.
So you're not afraid of not being able to get a wood on if you're with a girl?
I never said that was a problem for me. You're putting words in my mouth.
But what I'm saying, either a lady laughed at your package one time or something because...
you're projecting, and I think you're projecting some experience that you've had in your life. Maybe you're overcompensating for that woman laughing at you.
No, but
as far as Spider-Man goes, I saw the movie, sir.
I took the picture of my manhood. They have Viagra.
Never mind about this, okay? We're talking about Spider-Man.
Yeah,
and
he's
how
a little narcissistic.
What?
You're a little narcissistic, I think.
No,
going back to Spider-Man the movie, I thought it was a good movie. I thought it stayed pretty well in line with the comic books that
I was
reading as I grew up.
Okay, I just have a question. As opposed to me, which I do look good in the Spider-Man costume, how do you think you'd look in it?
Well, I suppose if I had to look like the guy in the movie, I'd probably be taped down, too.
Okay, but if you weren't taped down?
I'd be fine.
Yeah,
I'd be fine. I've never had any complaints in that area. That has nothing to do with a person making a choice in his life.
You could see my manhood.
Okay, man, about your freaking manhood.
Well, I want to, if I could, Mr. Henry, talk about the event we're going to have this Saturday, Manhattan Beach.
What?
I'm going to be in the Spider-Man costume, and I will be walking down Manhattan Beach, and I want people to come out and take a look to see if they like the new Spider-Man look. and I'll be walking down Manhattan Beach near the pier. And they
is that the same look in the comic books? Because that's what the movie was based on.
Well, it's my idea of just a slightly sexualized.
You're perverting it and wanting to make a, you know, a sexual thing out of the, you know, adding more sex to the movie.
No.
I mean, what for?
No, I'm not necessarily saying that they have to have sex, although they should because he's hot for her. Did you see the movie?
Yes, wonderful. I took my 10-year-old daughter to see the movie.
Did you see the nipple shot?
That was a great shot.
Okay. That's all
I didn't have any big problem with that. You know, my daughter didn't have that big of a problem with that either.
No, and so that's what I'm saying.
Because we see this in everything all over the media.
Okay, but you say you don't want to sexualize the movie. Is that right, Mr. Norton?
Yes, sir.
Then why do you have in your proposal that you sent to Mr. Raimi that Spider-Man shoot webs out of his penis?
Because I thought that adds something to the...
That's not even in the comic book.
So what, that makes me a bad guy now?
You're not going to take a kid to a movie like that.
Well, I'm not saying show it. It can just come out of a flap in his suit.
Webs coming out.
So the guy's just perverted.
I'm perverted. I'm the guy that came on here and said, I don't believe in priests having no sex. And I'm also the guy that came on here and said, I'm very concerned about the fondlement.
Oh, boy. That just scares me to no end.
Scares you?
Sure.
All right,
because
so Spider-Man...
guys like you that I have to watch out for because of my daughter.
I'm the guy who's concerned about kids getting fondled.
Yeah, but you got Spider-Man shooting a spider web out of his penis.
Yeah, and then he swings from it.
Then he swings from it. Thank you very much, man.
Hey,
well,
thank you,
I'll
Phil.
Be in Manhattan Beach. Wait a minute, where's he going?
Well, I'm letting him go.
Well, I'm going to be in Manhattan Beach in a Spider-Man suit. My costume is going to have hard blue nips on it like the Batman suit. And also another thing is I'll have a flap in the back so you can kind of... And can I mention the opening scene?
You want kids to go down and see this?
No, I'm just saying, to sexualize Spider-Man, I'm also going to be at, writing a scene that I want Mr. Raimi to look at, and I want you to just listen to this, if you could, Mr. Henry. The movie opens, and you see a spider, a picture of a spider going backwards and forwards, and as the camera pans back, you realize it's a spider that's on his butt, and his butt's going up and down. And
okay, so he finally gets MJ, is that it?
Well, I think we should. I think people need that resolution. I think people need to have that resolution. So I'll be on Manhattan Beach with a flap in the back and a web.
Good luck, man. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Chris Norton, aspiring screenwriter, who believes that Spider-Man sends a dangerous message of celibacy. What?
I'm sorry. I just want to mention one more thing.
What?
There's a scene in the movie where it opens. She's got web on her face.
Okay, that's all I needed to hear. Mr. Chris Norton will be at the, walking down the beach in the Spider-Man costume this Saturday. You can go out and see him and see what do you think of the new slightly sexualized Spider-Man because the celibate Spider-Man sends a dangerous message. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
And now it's time for more Phil Henry Comedy Gold from yesterday's show. Father James McWhorter paid us a visit. By the way, I was doing the voice there of Chris Norton in that preceding bit. That's what we do on our show sometimes. I do the voice of these different guests. People call in and think they're real. Like on yesterday's show, Father James McWhorter was a guest, and Father McWhorter was saying the solution to the child molestation priest problem was not so much to discipline the priests as to pay off the victims of the priest's molestation.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold!
You're a mockery of the Catholic
Why
Church.
Wouldn't you?
And
Why
what
wouldn't
irritates
you?
Me is when you just said that little boy should go to confession and confess. How did he entice you? What did that boy do to you? Somebody should take a 2x4 to your head. And you know
you
what? You should serve jail time. Any of those priests that have affected a child should serve jail time. Anybody else has to be monitored, but you
right,
people get off scot-free.
Hold on, Diana. What were you saying, Father?
Diana sits there and takes communion for free. We don't charge her for that.
You want to bet? I pay every Sunday I go to church, and I'm a good person, and I would never do what you did. My mother taught me better. My mother taught me the right thing, and you, people should look at you, and you drinking scotch? What example are you setting for these kids? You're saying it's okay? We can pay you off, and it's okay to molest a child?
No, I did not.
What's wrong with you?
What do you do with the priests who molest?
The priests have to go to summer youth camps.
Oh, wow.
Where they will work with, what's wrong with that?
Oh, summer youth camps. What the hell? And work with kids?
Yes.
What, are you crazy?
Ma'am,
you know what? You're lucky somebody doesn't plant you 6 feet under and have you pushing up daisies. But you know what? They probably wouldn't have that in hell anyhow, because that's where you're going to end up going. I can't imagine. God is good. But for you to do that and think it's okay, and then pitch the book onto everybody else, what are you, crazy?
I paid compensation to the boy.
Oh, yeah, $10. What'd he do?
Because, how much did you want me to pay him?
You shouldn't have, you know, you're sick. Do you realize how sick you are?
Have you been to any...
Father
McWhorter...
Trust me, I wouldn't call you Father.
I want to ask you something,
Father. You know
what?
You are such scum.
Hold on, Diana, hold on. Father, what did, after you, they caught you looking down the kids' pants, what did they make you do?
Who caught them?
I worked at a summer youth camp for three consecutive summers.
Hello.
It was the greatest time of my life.
Yeah, obviously.
Well, what are you intimating?
You know what? It was open fodder. You know what? And these kids trusted you. And because you wore a collar, that made it okay. That made it okay. You took away all of their youth. They're innocent.
$100,000
It doesn't mean jack.
It doesn't mean jack.
It doesn't mean jack.
I just want to be clear.
These kids are scarred for life.
I want to be clear, Diana. You, Diana, in New York, wouldn't take $100,000 to get on your knees.
Are you kidding? If I were to find anything, I would give it back to the rightful owner. I would never do something like that.
$200,000 to get down on your knees and pray.
Nothing. Nothing. You know what? Why don't you just go and legalize prostitution? Because that's the same thing, isn't it?
No, it is not the same thing.
Oh, it is. So they're paying for a service.
I'll give you
paid for a service.
$1 million to get down on your knees.
What makes you so righteous? What makes you so righteous? Because you've got the Catholic Church behind you?
That's
you make me sick. You know
I'm
what? I'm going to get out of the Catholic Church because of
people
like you.
Prostitution's cheaper. Well, good. Get out. Don't let the screen door hit you on the ass on the way out.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Goodbye, Mr. Phil.
You're a brand new condo for a threesome with Sister Agatha and Sister Maga. Shoot.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There you go. Another comedy gold nugget from the cheeks of our show. 1-800-449-8686. Speaking of that, if you're among those who downloaded the R. Kelly sex videotape, well, you had just best get rid of it, Jim. So, you think it's cute downloading stuff off of the internet, huh? You think it's kind of fun? You got it in your library. You heard about R. Kelly. You know who he is? Some cat that sings. So another black guy that sings. And anyway, I'm joking about the other black guy that sings part. He's another guy that sings. He's another black guy that got involved with an underage girl and is in trouble. No. You know what? Was it Chuck Berry? I believe it was Chuck Berry who had the same hassle. Elvis Presley and Chuck Berry had the same hassle way back when. Back in the day, Presley paid the whole thing off and cooled it out. Berry had to go to I think Berry went to jail. Anyway, cut to 2002, 21st century, the new millennium. Guy named R. Kelly. Apparently they got a tape of him having sex with a 14-year-old. Is it true? I don't know. But that's what they say. Mr. Kelly denies it. But what I would like to know, and he is in custody, and there's a picture of him being led into the jailhouse by police. He's in custody. How many of these priests are in jail? Again, we come back to the same theme. It's difficult for us to put a priest in jail. It's just, you can't do it. You could put the Berrigans in jail. Do you know who the Berrigans were? Philip and Daniel Berrigan? You could put them in jail because they were anti-nuclear protesters, and so there was something cool and countercultural and hip about seeing two guys with a turned around collar sitting behind bars because they didn't dig nuclear bombs. And that's in keeping sort of with the period. But a priest in jail for molesting a child goes against every Boys Town movie, every Pat O'Brien image. It goes against every one of those images that we have of priests. Priest in jail for pornography. Priest in jail for... No, the mind doesn't accept it. So if the mind doesn't accept it, then it's very difficult to actually prosecute. And so, well, we send him off to a retreat or something like that. Meanwhile, R. Kelly's in jail. You imagine? Why am I laughing? I don't know. I just, for some reason, I find it funny. I really find it hysterically funny. Guy's sitting there right now going, man, what is up with this? You got me?
Just chill out in there, okay?
I'm a chill out man. I'm in here on account of a film. We got a damn priest out there. I got his hand down every kind of pan.
You know, I really dig your records.
Oh, that's real nice. Thank you. Guy could go away for 15 years if he's convicted. Meanwhile, now they did get that Shanley guy out of San Diego because that was just too overt. That was, you can't ignore. What was he doing? He was part of that North American boy, man, man, boy, white on black, black on white, soft porn bondage organization. How much sicker? How much more twisted? North American Man Boy Love Association. How further down can you sink? Pelton was pointing to Chris Taylor or Craig Taylor, and I don't know what that meant, but the North American Man Boy Love Organization. The North American Man Boy Parakeet Love. There's no words to fail me. And this is a priest that was the head of the Man Boy Spaniel Love Organization. Man, boy, bovine, spaniel, parakeet, man, spaniel, love association. Yes, we're part of the North American man, ovine. Jim, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, hi, Phil.
Yes, Jim, how are you doing?
Hey, not bad. Listen.
Good, man. Can you crank your radio down for me?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
I listen to you all the time. I'm a cab driver on Clearwater, and I have people listening to you also from all over the United States.
Yes, sir.
And they say that you are the best in the world, I swear.
Very sweet of you.
So, and I'm Albanian, and I'm a Muslim, but Americans are my brothers and my friends. So,
what do you think of all these nutcases over there?
You know what? What is going on with them? It's very, very wrong. Everybody knows that, but they are billion and billion Muslims, and they are good people there, and just because some terrorists and we don't support them and we don't even want them in our religion. So, you know.
Sucks.
Sucks, buddy.
Yeah, it sucks,
but
brother.
You know what? I don't want to move nowhere. I want to listen to you all the time.
Hey, you're a nice man. Well,
you're
thanks,
the best,
pal.
Okay?
All right, pal.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, there's a guy. I guess he's a Albanian cat. See, Albanian, Turkish, all those Muslims, they're solid. Americans, they're good. It's when you get over to those Arabian Muslims, they start just a little too, that towel's too tight, as we like to say. Anyway, North American man horse. I don't know. Anyway, R. Kelly is in jail, and thousands of priests are just running around in the moonlight out there somewhere. And Kelly, I wouldn't blame the guy. He's going, look, man, I don't mind you putting me in, but whatever. What up with these priests? And oh, shut up, okay? Oh, come on, man. I know it's the South, but 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
An organization called Mothers Against Peer Pressure, formed by a Southern California housewife, has started up Mothers Against Peer Pressure, and it is an organization that claims to address one of the bigger dangers facing our kids, and that is the pressure from peers to do things that might be destructive or dangerous. Bobby and Steve Dooley join us from their home in Western States, California, and thank you for joining us this evening, Bobby.
Thank you, sir.
Can you tell us what your inspiration was for Mothers Against Peer Pressure?
Yes. First of all, Phil, I'd like to say that our organization was inspired by Mothers Against Drunk Driving and Students Against Drunk Driving. We know how organizations like Mothers Against Drunk Driving and Students Against Drunk Driving, we know how they feel. That's why we formed Mothers Against Peer Pressure. We don't want our children victimized as well. And we recently, my husband and I, were faced with that very thing. Our son was victimized by another child. He was forced into speeding. He had been ticketed. I'm still suffering from the shock of it. I never thought that we would be victimized this way.
Well, tell us what happened and how this case led to the forming of Mothers Against Peer Pressure.
My son, his name is Dylan. He's 16, and pardon me if I get emotional because he's my firstborn. My Dylan was following this friend of his, and I'm going to mention the boy's name, and I really don't care what the parents think. The boy's name is Greg Russell, and this Greg Russell kid was in a car ahead of Dylan. They were going up Western Estates Boulevard. And then this Greg kept going faster and faster, and my Dylan obviously is trying to keep up because of the peer pressure. So as Greg is going faster and faster, my Dylan is in his car, which is a Dodge Durango. Greg was driving, I think Greg was driving his father's Lexus, I forget. So he's going faster to keep up. The L.A. sheriff told us that Greg had reached speeds of over 80 miles an hour.
Well, now your son did as well, right?
Well, yes, he did, but he was only following this Russell kid. This wasn't done out of my son's own volition. He was forced to keep up, apparently, with this Russell kid because he's a real hot rodder. Okay, so...
Well, so this Russell kid is going 80, and your son is trying to keep up with him, and he's doing 80.
Because of the peer pressure.
Okay.
So now this Russell kid makes a quick turn onto Bougainvillea, and my Dylan didn't have a chance. The police say that they have on video, Dylan's Durango apparently became airborne, went over a park fence.
Good God.
Hit a picnic table. It gets better. Where, according to the police, there was a field trip picnic going on. And are you familiar with these children that are specially disadvantaged and retarded?
Yeah, well, they have field trips for them, yeah.
Well, apparently it hit a picnic table. I said to the officer, are you telling me that this school for disadvantaged would be so stupid as to have their picnic that close to the roadway?
Well, you said there was a fence separating the park from the road.
It doesn't matter. You saw what happened to my Dylan trying to keep up with this Russell kid who is the culprit here. Listen to me, you parents out there. You parents of kids. Oh, my God.
My wife's upset, Mr. Henry.
I can understand that.
You parents of kids that force other kids to do wrong, you will not corrupt our children. My Dylan's Durango apparently landed on a picnic table where disadvantaged children were eating because one of your kids, under peer pressure, made him do something he knew he shouldn't do.
And well, let me ask you, how are these kids... Your son's Durango leapt a fence, came down on a picnic table where disadvantaged kids were having a field trip?
Yes.
How are these children?
Oh, they're fine. In fact, if there was any good that came out of this, Dylan was telling me that actually was kind of funny to see the kids scatter. The car was coming. The kids didn't have a chance. And they saw potato salad. One of the kids wound up laying in some Jell-O. So it was a little, you know, it was a little humorous considering what could have happened. So really what we're saying, Mothers Against Peer Pressure, we stand with Mothers Against Drunk Driving and Students Against Drunk Drivers in wanting to protect our children. Because my son was forced to do something that could have...
Well, it could have killed him. Can I say something?
Yes. There's a wheelchair. One of the disadvantaged children's wheelchair is shoved up the oil pan.
Your boy is still alive. He didn't die. Your kid's in the same category as a drunk driver. He is...
No, Phil, let me explain to you.
He is the instigator. He's not the victim.
Let me explain. It was the Russell boy who was the instigator. It was...
Hold on. I want to give our phone number out, Ms. Dooley.
But you're being very unfair, and you're very, very ignorant, and you don't have the information. Mothers Against Peer Pressure is aligned with Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Hold on. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. If you'll listen to me...
No, but you got to read the brochure that we have.
No, if you'll listen to me, Mothers Against Drunk Driving protects kids who are hit by drunk drivers. Your boy was going fast, you say, because he was a victim of peer pressure.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, he exerted the peer pressure, this Russell boy. He is the one we in Mothers Against Peer Pressure are against, the Russell boy. Ask the mothers out there, ask them. And they will agree with me. How dare you say that my boy Dylan, I am shaking, I am so angry to say that he is the instigator. He was the victim of another boy exerting peer pressure to the point where my boy went over 80 miles an hour, through no fault of his own, leapt a curb, leapt a fence, the car was airborne, came down full on a picnic table, could have killed these cripples, as well as did serious damage to the car, because as I said, one of the children's wheelchairs was lodged in the drivetrain. Dylan got out of the car.
Do I have you right when you say that it was one of the more humorous things that to see the kids scatter?
What are you driving at?
Well, I would think that it would be frightening to see if I was sitting in an airborne Durango as it sailed down on poor crippled kids scattering.
He said it was humorous. And my God, we should have some kind of comic relief from a boy who is a known hot rodder leading my child into a high-speed chase on a city street where my boy...
Ms. Dooley, I want to say something. I want to say that I feel your pain. I know you're a mother. I am not trying in any way, shape, or form to discount the real fear that you feel.
Yes.
But...
But you don't understand...
No, but your son was racing in his car, and...
No, Mr. Andy, you got to understand something. Peer pressure... I get to say something.
Yes, Mr. Dooley.
Peer pressure is exerted on kids, and they don't know what...
Peer pressure, Phil, is exerted on our children. It is crippling them. It is causing them to do things. My boy is not at fault. The Russell boy is. He's out there racing up the road. My boy is chasing... because he's a victim of peer pressure. You have to understand this. I'm a mother. You're not. You have to understand what peer pressure is. Peer pressure can kill your child as quickly as a drunk driver. So that's why Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, and the mothers out there know what I'm talking about. The mothers out there know. They know that peer pressure can kill their children. And so we love Mothers Against Drunk Drivers because they're just like us.
They're just like you.
Yes.
1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, and your boy's Durango was airborne and came down on top of a table being eaten at by...
These crippled children.
By disadvantaged children. Here is Cheryl on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes, I am
mm-hmm.
a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What your child did mm-hmm. at 16 mm-hmm. was his own fault.
No, let me explain.
Not the child who
yeah.
was driving in front of
let
him.
Let me explain.
He has a conscience.
Mm-hmm.
He is accountable.
Mm-hmm. No
one pushed his mm-hmm. foot to that floor
mm-hmm.
on the accelerator.
Mm-hmm. Let me explain.
You obviously
pressure.
Were taught. In,
mm-hmm.
He obviously was caught mm-hmm. right from wrong somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
He made
mm-hmm.
a conscious decision.
Do you see what we're saying here, Bobby?
No, let me explain something to both of you, what peer pressure is.
I know what
my
peer
boy,
pressure is.
My boy is a good boy. He's never done anything wrong. He has his own Dodge Durango. He was in trouble with the police once. And you know what? You want to know what happened, Cheryl? It was a trumped-up date rape charge. They never proved a thing. He has been victimized time and again by sluts, and now by this juvenile delinquent friend of his.
So do you not
okay.
believe your son has the ability to make
no.
good decisions?
Absolutely, and he did make a good decision.
He made a good decision
yes.
by getting behind mm. that young man and driving at those rates of speed.
But he didn't want to.
He
most
was certainly
forced into it.
Did.
He was,
he
forced.
Was not forced.
Look at
he
me.
Made a conscious
mm-hmm.
decision
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. to follow this mm-hmm. child, and that was a
mm-hmm.
poor decision
mm-hmm.
that he needs to be held accountable
mm-hmm.
for. I
Cheryl.
Am fed up
mm-hmm.
with parents making excuses
mm-hmm.
for their children.
Mm-hmm.
They have
amen.
To learn.
Amen.
They
have. They
oh.
have to.
Amen.
This world
yes.
has problems
mm-hmm.
it has because
mm-hmm.
we refuse
mm-hmm.
to accept responsibility
mm-hmm.
for our own actions.
Cheryl, I'd like to send you a brochure for Mothers Against Peer Pressure, and it might
no,
help you
thank
understand.
You.
It might
I am not interested in your group.
What
you
want
to blame somebody other than
mm-hmm.
yourself or your child.
But our kids are good kids.
Nobody's,
my kid's a good kid, too, but he makes bad
mm-hmm.
choices
well,
at times.
You know something?
I was
I
a
tell
good kid. And
Dylan
made bad choices.
Dylan's made a
and
lot
I'm
bad.
Now 40 years old,
but,
and I have hopefully learned
right.
from so sad.
But you
choices.
Have to understand, there's a lot of sluts out there, and I'm not trying to say anything about anyone's child. There are sluts.
You most certainly are, lady.
Juvenile delinquents, and they lead my boy astray.
And
well,
your child made a poor choice. Cheryl, it's not their fault.
The reason,
it is his choice.
The reason why I wanted to send you a brochure is... Is it possible your children are instigators and you don't know?
Because hey, I'm
need
sure
to know,
my son is.
You need
I
to know the
sure
difference
my
between the instigator
is.
And the victim.
And but right now,
the victim.
Lady, listen to this.
Okay.
My son made poor choices.
It's the
my son is now signing up for boot camp to the United States Navy because he realized he was the only person accountable
well, there you are.
And responsible.
And did he kill any children with his peer pressure, or is he fortunately...
Lady, my son was in juvenile detention because he made bad choices. Nobody forced him
to do what he did. Well, I'm glad
he
you got him off
made
the
choice.
Yeah, but this lady is saying her son's taking responsibility. Why doesn't yours?
Because, you see, Phil, her son was an instigator, my son's a victim. And there's a very big difference. And in our brochure, you know, Cheryl, I don't want to judge you, but you sound like you were not a very strong mother.
I am a very strong mother. Why do you think my son is now going into the United States Navy?
Right. Well, maybe you need some help for not being home enough. Or
I was home enough.
Okay. Look, Cheryl, I think
you've
made...
You don't know anything about me,
lady. Well, you sound not too strong.
Okay. Look,
It's the sluts, Cheryl. It's the sluts and the juvenile delinquents.
No, it's not, lady.
It's the sluts.
It's all right. Accountability.
All right, Cheryl, good point. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley, founder of Mothers Against Peer Pressure. Her son, she says, was forced into speeding at 80 miles an hour. His car became airborne. He could have killed a group of kids in a park. And is it her son's fault? No, it's the fault of this other boy who led her son on this wild chase. And so she formed Mothers Against Peer Pressure so that her kid won't be victimized again by what she calls sluts and juvenile delinquents who lead him astray. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here. And she, by the way, says that her organization is just like Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, protecting our kids. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Let me go to a quick phone call here with Bobby Dooley, founder of Mothers Against Peer Pressure. It's the peer pressure that forces kids into doing things that they shouldn't do. Melanie, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, Bonnie. I would just like to make a quick comment. I am 22 years old. I was in high school. I dealt with peer pressure. And I never fell into it. Your son could stand up to this peer pressure. If you do not blame him or you do not hold him responsible, we're just going to make him a better person in the end.
I'm sorry.
I went to all the parties. All my friends drank. All my friends smoked. I never did that. I had a good time with him. I never did it. I never had trouble with the law. But you are you are not holding yourself responsible makes me sick.
I'm sorry. You must have been mistaken for some slut who lets her daughter run around with everything hanging out and forces my boy into making a decision. Do I go ahead and go for it, or do I not?
Do you understand that son is not going to become a better person by you not holding him accountable for anything he does?
Of course I hold. You know, when he was young, we had washed and waxed the floor, and he came in and he spread Comet all over a brand new wash and waxed kitchen floor, and I tanned his rear end. So, yes, we hold him accountable. But he just hasn't done anything wrong since then. You see?
No, I don't understand at all.
Okay, what I'm saying is the last time he did anything wrong, he was 3. Now he's 17, and he still hasn't done anything wrong.
Wait a minute.
How has he not done anything wrong? He could have
killed
those kids.
Because he's a good boy. He's a good boy.
Every mother thinks their children are the perfect children.
What is this date rape?
My son was enticed by this slut at a high school dance. She forced him into thinking the phrase that I guess every boy thinks one time or another, should I give it to this bitch or not? You know what I'm saying?
So your son, because he has hormones and he wanted to do something with this girl, makes her a slut? I don't understand that either.
Of course.
Because it's your son? What if it was someone else?
I don't know. Melanie, there's an old saying, if my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle. So we can't really engage in ifs. We only know what is. And I have a good boy, and the fact that his Durango came down on top of a table full of disadvantaged children isn't his fault.
No, it's the fault of Greg Russell, hot rodder and juvenile delinquent.
And what do you think this mother thinks of her daughter? She doesn't think her daughter's a slut.
Well, he went ahead and gave it to her. And then they say it's date rape. What's that mean?
He went ahead and gave it to her.
A joke. You're a total joke.
I'm a joke.
You are a total joke.
How do you figure that?
Because you don't hold your son responsible for anything.
I said.
I know many kids that never drink, never smoke. They have nice cars. They don't drive them fast just because their friend is driving fast.
Mm-hmm.
They make their own decisions.
Well, I don't know what world you
live
in.
He knows right from wrong, correct?
He gave it to this bitch 14 and a half.
Will you watch your language?
Different ways.
All right, thank you. Here's Lauren on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, first off, could we turn her down because this me trying to talk is
I am simply
out of line.
I'm listening to what people are saying.
Yeah, well, chill with it.
Well, you know something? You can't tell me what to do.
Well, first off,
her down.
How long have people been daring other people to do do stuff?
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, ever since I've been in school, I've been,
Who's that?
This and that, you know. It's the responsibility of the person to say, no, I ain't doing it. You know?
I don't get it.
You don't get it?
No.
Well, Captain Peer Pressure Russell over there, whatever.
Greg Russell.
Yeah, there's your kid.
He's a piece of garbage.
Oh, whatever. Anyway.
No, really.
Your kid is behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Somebody goes, ooh, dude, go fast.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it's the responsibility of your kid to say, you know what? No, I'm not sure.
And be laughed at school and be called gay and everything else. No.
Better than he'd be laughed at school and be alive. What if your boy was dead today?
Well, he's not going to be dead, Phil. He's a very good driver.
Very good driver?
Yeah.
His Durango's airborne, and it came down on top of a picnic table.
Look, young man, this wasn't a game of truth or dare. This was peer pressure.
Oh, I see.
Lauren, hold on.
Columbine.
Lauren, hold on for a minute.
Columbine was peer pressure.
Yeah, right. Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Bobby Dooley, founder of Mothers Against Peer Pressure. Her son went 81 miles an hour and almost killed five people, but it wasn't his fault. It was peer pressure. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, let's go to Denise. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley of Mothers Against Peer Pressure.
I'm here.
Denise, go right ahead.
I'd like to, Mrs. Dooley, I would like to address you from one mother to another how upset and sad I am that you are allowing your son to use this cop-out to not be a responsible person. Columbine was not peer pressure. Those children were teased and those children were ridiculed, but their parents should have had the strength to raise those children in a home where they had self-confidence and they could say no and not worry about whether somebody was going to call them a name.
Well, the Columbine boys, boys were fine.
I am telling you this. Your son is responsible for what he did.
Wait a minute.
Nobody else, because
Denise,
he has a mind of his own.
No.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me the Columbine kids were normal kids, but someone called them pizza face and they snapped?
Yes. I don't understand.
Please.
Oh.
You know what?
You know,
I got made fun of growing up, and I didn't go into my school and shoot people.
My boy is a good boy.
But
you know what?
Kid,
I am not saying your boy isn't a good boy, but he had a lapse in judgment.
And you know what they did?
And you should have been a good enough parent and a strong enough parent to teach him to know that he can say no and not have to worry about what somebody else thinks. Because it doesn't matter what somebody else thinks.
I told him to stay away from this Russell boy.
Well,
he's not allowed to go near him.
You should have done a better job.
Well, you know, we sat down and we talked.
Bottom line is, your son is responsible for his actions, no one else. He was behind the wheel.
How do you figure
that? Stuck the keys in the ignition and turned it on, and he's the one that drove. Don't tell me, honey.
How do you figure that he's responsible, honey?
Why are you calling her honey?
He's driving the vehicle. How do you figure he's not, honey?
Wait a second. Oh, so now you're going to call me honey?
Well, if you want to call me honey, I'm going to call you honey.
Oh, you know something? You're really pissing me off. And number
well,
one,
you know what?
Are you
I'm
a mother?
Sure you really
are you a mother?
The people whose children were sitting at that picnic table,
that
too.
That counselor who put those retarded kids on a highway to have their cookie snack.
Whoa, you are rude. Calling these children a name like that? They have no control over what is the matter with them.
I didn't say that they did.
That
I'm
is something,
saying,
well, you don't call them a derogatory name like
well,
that. The line is,
you
your
don't,
son was behind the wheel, your son stuck the key in the
well,
ignition.
How's that his fault?
Your son is responsible for his actions.
How's that
are you
fault?
Telling me that somebody stuck their foot on his foot and pushed the gas down? That makes it not his fault?
Yes, Greg Russell exerted peer pressure. And these retards
was
that
his
were
exertion of peer pressure his foot on your son's foot?
Yes. Now, the retards that were in the car.
His foot over on your son's foot.
Yes.
Is that what you're telling me? That he stuck his foot across the center console and put his foot on your son's foot?
Spiritually and psychologically, yes.
Oh, please.
Look,
who are you? Who are you brainwashed
by? You don't park a group of retards near a road and expect them not to be nailed by a flying Dodge Durango.
Well, what the hell was the Dodge Durango doing flying? Think about it.
Because Greg Russell forced him to go airborne.
How ignorant do you have to be to not realize that your son is responsible?
Don't you understand that your son was the one who, just as the lady said...
Phil, I won't be yelled at. I've been through enough.
Nobody's yelling at you. We're trying to knock some sense into your head.
And the police impounded the car, which is absolutely outrageous. Now he has to
get the bus. It was involved in a crime, woman. What do you think they were going to do?
Give it back to my boy. It wasn't his fault. Let the Russell boys car be impounded. And my boy gets the
car. Let me ask you something.
My boy
when
got a
his
job.
Friends say, hey, dude, this will be fun, let's go in and rob the store.
Yeah.
And while you're at it, shoot the guy in the head. Is that going to be not his fault, too? Because, they told him to do it?
It depends on the circumstance.
Oh,
if
no,
you
it
call
does
a
not
kid,
depend.
If you call a kid pizza face.
You're lacking in parental experience. And
you know what? If
and
you call a kid pizza
could not
and
raise
he shoots
child
you,
to
I think
have
you
enough
that.
Self-esteem
oh my
to
God.
Say no.
No, that's exactly right. And what do you mean it was funny watching those poor retarded children scatter?
My
you know what?
Son, my son said it was humorous as the car was coming down to see the kids trying to get away. They were in wheelchairs or something. I don't know.
Well, you know what? If that's not guilt, I don't know what it is.
What's guilt?
Guilt.
He said it was funny. Thank God the children, thank God they weren't hurt. They were just scampering away on artificial legs or whatever.
Well, what if one of them would have fallen down? You are a sick woman.
How do you figure that?
You need to be committed.
One of them's missing, by the way. They don't know. That's why they impounded the car, because they think the child has somehow been wedged under the car. I don't know.
Well, my God, that's hilarious.
I mean, don't you think so?
No, she's being facetious.
What? You don't? Oh, you were joking.
I don't.
You don't think that's funny?
I'm talking about small children's lives, small children who depend on somebody else to take care of them. They have them out for an outing where they were supposed to have fun and be safe.
Okay.
And your son, because he is an idiot and can't say no, sticks his foot on the gas and airborne's his car and lands on their table. And you're trying to blame it on somebody else?
All right, let me ask you this.
If you do not make your son take responsibility for his actions, he will never take responsibility for his actions, and he will continue to be a complete menace to society.
Let me ask you this. Who's going to pay for the crutches that were taken out of the wheel well? Yeah, you don't have an answer for that, do you?
You should.
I should? I wasn't the retard that was...
Will you not use that word anymore?
I'm calling you a retard because you're not using much common sense.
Your kid was the one that landed on the table. The crutches got jammed up into his wheel well. You pay for it.
Oh, my
Amen.
God. You've both gone insane.
No,
you've both
I'm sorry.
Gone insane.
You just haven't realized it yet.
And get a new phone. You're going like... That's what it sounds like. It sounds ridiculous.
All right, look, thank you very much.
See, now you're laughing. Now you see how funny it is.
You're funny.
All right, look, Denise, thank you. Marge, go ahead. You're on a Phil Henry show. Margie.
Oh, here I am.
Go ahead, dear.
Well, first, I thought that this had to be made up.
Margie, are you on a handheld phone of some kind?
I'm actually on what I call my car phone, which is a phone in a parking lot.
Okay, dear, you're a little scratchy, but go ahead. We'll just jack you up. Go ahead.
All right.
Jack her up?
I mean,
we're going to turn her up.
Thank you.
Jesus.
I thought that this had to be made up because I have never heard anyone so ignorant, obnoxious, and ridiculous. And further, it's a good thing that she wasn't at my high school when I was 16 getting called fatso because, gosh, maybe if I'd had a gun, I could have shot her. But
no, I'm talking about boys that are called pizza face.
Excuse me. I think it's very clear that you don't know how to listen because through every...
Well, can I ask you something? Are you still fatso?
Excuse me.
Are you still a fatso?
Excuse me. You don't know how to listen. You have hawed your way through every single comment that every single person has made. You've not heard a thing that anyone said.
Are you?
And I'm certain that that's exactly how your son is cruising through life.
So in other words,
you
don't want to admit about your way.
I refuse to talk while you're talking. If you want to jam for 5 minutes, go ahead.
I need for one of you guys to be quiet, and I would like Bobby to do that so Margie can talk.
Well,
I just asked her if she's still large.
I am not even going to go there because that's not what this call is about. Phil's got limited time, and I'm going to use it to say these following things. One, I think that it's so amazing, and this further makes me think that this is made up, that someone can sit in wherever you are and bandy about words such as slut and bitch and crippled and retards, and then
who?
Consider that that's comic relief. I think that's pretty amazing. Now, what you're suggesting...
My son thought it was funny when he saw the Crips running away.
Now, there it is. There's Crips.
I think...
You know, Marge, you said you were called Fatso as a kid.
Yes.
Did they call you Marge the Barge?
Oh, of course.
There you go. See? And it's funny.
It's not.
And it feels good.
Now, the person is suggesting it.
Yes.
In Michigan,
please
stop talking while I'm talking.
You're just pissed because you have to buy 2 airline tickets.
Okay.
Anyway,
obviously,
can I finish this?
Do you own a gun?
Yeah, you know what, Marge?
Michigan.
Do you own a gun? She's almost done. Look, both of your phones have kind of crapped out, so we need to... And she was going to start in about talking about the Michigan Wolverines or something. I don't know. All right. 1-800-449. Thank you very much, Ms. Dooley. Good luck with Mothers Against Peer Pressure. Pizza face. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Time for another comedy gold nugget from our archives. On yesterday's show, David Hall and Bobby Dooley. By the way, that was me doing the voice of Bobby Dooley in the preceding bit. And in this following bit, I do the voices of David Hall and Bobby Dooley, where they're talking to a caller about how they're disgusted with the fact that I did this whole political rap yesterday. I did this whole rap about Pakistan and India and Israel and Palestine and the war on terror. And David and Bobby came on to say that's not why they listen to this show. They listen to this show for the shtick.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
May I ask a question?
Yes, dear.
What is the capacity of that moron that's your assistant, whatever the hell he is?
Wait a minute. You talking about me?
I'm talking about you. Get the hell off the phone. I want to talk to Phil.
He is the program, he is the vice president of syndication for my show.
Well, what's his IQ? 10?
You called me a moron.
Yes, you talk like one.
How do I talk like one?
You talk like a moron. You try to impress the people you're talking to like you're very educated, but I think you have to go back to school and learn your history a little better.
Stuff.
Shut up and listen!
I know stuff.
Just shut up and listen for once. You talk too much. Listen a little bit more.
I talk too much?
Yes.
You know where the Middle East is?
Do I? I've been there 3 times.
Yeah, but do you know where it is?
No, it's in the moon up there.
That's what I
don't want to answer your question.
She don't make no sense.
I told you I wanted it.
Yes. Go ahead,
are you
Sylvia.
The boss there? I mean,
I'm the boss of Mr. Henry, okay?
And you are. Excuse me. May I get an answer? Are you with Mr. Henry's boss?
Yes, I am.
Do you own the station?
Do I own the station? I own the show.
You are. Are you on the
you
show? Wanna, but are you? Are
you want to get tough about it?
No, I'm asking a question. I'm not telling you anything.
Are you Jewish? Are you Jewish?
That's none of your business.
See, that's why you're getting upset.
You don't know a damn thing about what I am.
You're Jewish and you're bumming out because he ain't talking about Israel.
You're full of
watch your language, Sylvia, if you wouldn't
mind. I know. If I know how to spell it, I can say it.
Listen to the potty mouth on her, will you?
You know what? You know what he is,
you know what, Sylvia? Nobody
Sylvia, shut up. I want to talk to Phil. Phil?
Yes, ma'am.
I mean this sincerely.
You know, one of the things that I want to say...
Well, shut your mouth for 2 seconds.
Go ahead, Sylvia.
I really, what I want to know is, what is his capacity? He won't shut his mouth. Is he going to shut up for 2 minutes?
Shut up, David.
You tell me to shut up?
May I ask a question,
Phil? No one tells me to shut up.
Be quiet. Yes, go ahead, Sylvia.
Does he own the station?
No.
What does he own there? I mean, what's his capacity?
I own Phil Hendry's ASS.
That's what you are.
I'm a what?
That's exactly what you just spoke is what you are. You're an ignorant ass.
I'm an ignorant ass.
Yes.
Look, nobody wants to talk about Pakistan and all that baloney.
This has nothing to do with Pakistan and all that baloney. I simply wanted to ask Phil Henry a couple of questions. If you don't mind.
What about me? Don't you want to ask me
questions? I'm going to ask him about you. I don't have to ask you.
I'm a fascinating guy.
Excuse me, do you own the station?
No, I don't own the station.
Well, what is your capacity there?
I am the vice president of syndication in charge of production programming schedules.
Of what? The whole...
of the subsection.
Of which? Of what? Of the whole state radio station?
No, subsection 4.
What is that? What is that?
That is the delineation of the production manual. So what we do is we move in and out of those areas. And I am the one that more or less is the gatekeeper for subsection 6,
In other words, what I'm really getting at. Excuse me, I'm asking you.
Division 3.
If you keep quiet for 5 minutes,
well,
maybe you'll be able to answer a question.
Try to give it a whole answer, okay?
No, you don't have to. Just what I asked.
Right, I just
you,
told you.
Do you
but
own...
Division 4, not Division 3, I'm sorry.
Do you own the station?
Book. Do I own the station?
Yes.
What state, what caller?
You're WLRN, or you're the New York station that you're talking from.
Yeah, I'm a New York station.
I'm asking about where Phil Henry is talking
from.
Where
Phil Henry is talking out of right now is WACK in New York.
Not WLRN?
No, WLRN's picking it up. We're at WACK in New York.
Are you talking from New York now?
I'm speaking from New York right now.
We're in New York because I'm a New Yorker. You know, before I lived in Florida.
Have you ever heard of Brooklyn?
Lincoln High School in Brooklyn. Wait a minute. Would you listen for 2 minutes?
You wanted to know
I went to Brooklyn College.
I'm in a place called Flatbush.
Flatbush. Okay. Listen to me.
Will you listen to the lady?
No, I heard you. You're from Flatbush.
She doesn't know.
You're from the same neighborhood I am.
I'm from Flatbush.
That's where I'm from. I'm from Flatbush.
Right. Alphabet City.
Okay, listen to me.
Alphabet City. And it's in New York.
Would you listen a minute? Would you answer my question? Would
you
come up for air? Would you come up for air for 2 minutes?
What do you need?
I have a few questions I wanted answered. That's all.
Why, sure.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm a graduate. Would you please listen? I'm a graduate of Lincoln High School and Brooklyn College.
I never heard of it.
You never heard of Lincoln High School and Brooklyn College?
I don't.
And you come from Brooklyn?
No, wait a minute. Are you sure that's in Brooklyn?
Of course. Where else is it?
No, I've never
Lincoln High School is in Brighton.
No. Nobody's ever heard of it.
Nobody's heard of Brighton, near Coney Island.
No, ma'am.
You never heard of Coney Island?
No, ma'am.
Come on, you're pulling my leg.
I'm not pulling your leg.
Well, Phil Henry knows Coney Island.
Yeah,
ask
I know
him.
Coney Island. Yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah,
do you know Brooklyn? And I went to Brooklyn College.
Where's that?
Near Flatbush Avenue, not far.
Is that in Brooklyn?
Yes. That's why it's called Brooklyn
You're
College.
You're making this up?
Look, where are we going with all of this, okay?
Because
She's
I wanted
want
to him, I wanted him to know.
We're
because
in Brooklyn.
Bill,
we're
I wanted
New
him
York.
To know I'm from Brooklyn. That's all.
You're okay.
that I'm familiar with what he...
All right. Well, that's very good. And
were you a rock hit?
Never mind.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. PHILHENDRIESHOW.com. You can get into our audio archives and listen to some of these. And I want to tell you about an event coming up on July the 4th. For the very first time ever on any radio station ever in the history of the medium, you've heard of the top 100 songs of the year. You've heard of the top 100 albums of the year. You've heard of roll out their Firecracker 400 or their Hot 100. They do it in music radio, but never in the history of talk radio has anybody played the top 100 calls of the year until our show came along. Now, we did this once or twice, actually, down in Miami, and we're going to do it nationally beginning this July 4th. Tune into the Phil Henry Show. You'll hear the top 100 calls of the last 12 months as they aired on our show, and that'll be on our broadcast July the 4th. So it'll be a nice kind of a, should we call it the Firecracker 100 or the Phil Henry one? I don't know, but it's the top 100 calls of the past year right here on our show on July the 4th. So it's a little something different to listen to while you're cooking at the barbecue or, you know, taking another bong hit in your attic. Whatever it is that you do, whatever guns your motor, you can check out the top 100 calls of the year right here on the Phil Henry Show. And whenever you get the, you know, you get in the mood, man, you can check out our audio archives on the Phil Henry website, plus our 30-day archive, which has all the last 30 days worth of shows archived there for you. We have our webcast archive. We've got probably more of the best radio comedy ever heard on our website than anywhere else. All you need is a backstage pass, and to get that, log on to philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. While you're there, visit our souvenir shop, pick up a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, or one of our Best of the Phil Henry Show CDs for the Phil Henry fan in your life. We'll be right back.
Here's Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
So the MTV Motion Picture Awards are tonight. And if ever there was any doubt that people in Hollywood really need their asses kissed on a regular basis, just look at the number of award shows. But I know why there are so many award shows. Some people simply say, oh, there's too many award shows. But there's a reason. There's a reason why we have the MTV Motion Picture Awards. There's a reason why there's the Razzies. There's a reason why there's the... what is it here? The Essence Awards, you know, or African Americans in Film Achievement Awards, and the Emmys, and the Tonys, and there's a reason all of these award shows exist. And the reason is because all these people started these award shows because they were disappointed that they didn't win the only award that really matters, and that's the Academy Award, the Oscar. That's the most coveted one. That's the one that every one of them wants to win. That's the only one that really means anything. When you see an advertisement in the paper, two-time Academy Award winner Denzel Washington, it doesn't say two-time People's Choice MTV Movie Video African Essence Award. It doesn't say three-time Directors Guild. It says Academy Award. Now, these award shows are started in this, and understand, like with the MTV Movie Awards, they purport to be satirical. The best kiss, the best explosion. But it's just it's the flip side of the same coin. You can either really pine away and try to do your own award show that sort of mimics the pageantry and the formality of the Academy Awards. You can do that, which, for instance, you know, like probably one of the silliest awards ever invented, completely without meaning. I can't figure it out. The ESPYs, you know? This is for sports. And they have a guy up there, and now the award for the man who, I don't even know what this is for. What, Charlie? Come on, you've had too much to drink. Let me read it. And now the award for the most valuable broadcaster, I guess. Okay, come on up, Ed, get it. You know, or the Essence Awards, which, that's tonight, isn't it? the essence, this is an African-American thing. It's about our desire to express a profound appreciation for the unwavering support and love African-American women offer to Essence magazine, yada, yada, yada. But all of those shows are the same, too, you know. This kind of African-Americans started award shows with their own reason. They were jealous that they couldn't get Academy Awards. They wanted to get an Academy Award. They weren't giving any to black people. So they started, good evening and welcome to this evening's achievement in African-American filmmaking. Yay! I am your host, Audie Taylor.
Yay!
This evening we will present a retinue of beautiful women, accomplished men, and now our first presenter, Latisha Keyshawn Watkins Lavoris Brown. Here she is. Hey. Thank you. The African American in film, and you're like going, cut. What's the matter?
Well, cut it with the whole limousine black guy thing. I don't understand what you're saying. Just get out of here with that. Just go right to the award, man. Good evening. What are you, Count Dracula?
All right, I'll try it again.
Yeah, try it again, man.
Good evening and welcome to this evening's African-American Achievement Award. My name is D. Sly Watkins.
Yeah!
And now a very lovely lady, an accomplished violinist, Loretta Devine, Samantha Fan, Diana Ross Etheridge.
Yay.
Or Angela Bassett is always very dramatic, isn't she? She's, thank you. The African-American in film has suffered many a hard road. But through it all, and through the example of wonderful people, we have reached the top of the mountain. Tonight we will honor four filmmakers for their achievements in excellence, in their ability to represent the African-American experience. And now, for our first nominee, Wynell Jefferson Watkins Abdul Salam, whatever the hell, I can't read this, and his film, Mothra versus Godzilla. Here it is, and well, this got nothing to do with blacks. Forget it. It's got a couple of guys in a cameo. Maya Angelou will now present award for Best Picture. Thank you and good evening. The Best Picture, Godzilla versus Monster X, Undercover Brother, Blackula in Harlem, and finally, the very fine Missy does the car wash, man. I don't know. I'm out of here. Why the hell they would have me do this? I did an inauguration. Just get up there, Miss Angelou. We're paying you big money. Oh, bullcrap. I'm out of here. And so there's a formality that they mimic, isn't it? It's always the same damn thing, too. I don't care whether it's white, black. It's just, you know, it's the same thing. Good evening and welcome to this evening's Ass Awards. Good evening and welcome to this evening's African Americans and Achievement Awards. The first darkie goes to...
You have the Tony, and you have the Oscar. Everything's a Tony, an Emmy, a Grammy, a Darkie, but then Oscar. See, it even shows right there that it's way above everything else. And the Golden Globes, give that up, will you? Yeah, right, that's someday going to be the Academy Awards. Nobody even knows what that is.
Good evening, and welcome to our achievements for African-American filmmaking. The first Silver Spade goes to a man, the wonderful man, Spike Lee. Nobody's ever seen any of your movies, Spike, but solid.
That's great.
All right. Spike did, of course, that wonderful film, Summer of Sam, Get on the Bus. All of Spike's movies combined have made a total of $6 million, all 50 of them. Jungle Fever, Boogie Nights, Boogie Fever, I don't know, some... You know, She's Got to Have It, Do the Right Thing, Up Yours. She's Got to Have It, Do the Right Thing, Go Home to Your Mama, Take the Bus Home, Everybody Walks, I'm Not You, Billy Has His Lunch, Tommy Forgot His Lunch Money. Yeah, that was a great one. Show Me the Money, Don't Show Me the Money, Be on Time, The Bus Leaves at 9,
Coliseum. The Rams are leaving and going to St. Louis. That was also a fine statement by a fine young black filmmaker, Spike Lee. And tonight we will honor his achievement. All of his films combined, all 1,200 of them, got funding from Warner Brothers and a couple of cats who had some money. Finally, some of that big-time black money came, you know, Jim Brown made out with it when he ain't beating up his old lady. He's got some cash stashed. And they laid it on him, and all of those money, you know, whatever the hell they're called, movies, that's right, it combined made a total of $3 million. Good for you, Spike. Jesus H., how do you eat, man? What is going on with you, huh? Were you talk about just a big blockbuster. Malcolm X, yeah, that wasn't bad. All that stock footage of those cats on the rugs. Good job. Where'd you get that, huh? Got that from the Saudi Film Vault? Thank you.
So there you go. And last year, I was also nominated for an award. I was nominated for an award. We have all these awards in this business, too, and they're all just ridiculous. Billboard Personality of the Year. And I got nominated as Syndicated Personality of the Year by a trade magazine. So I went out to Marina Del Rey, and I felt like a complete and utter idiot sitting there at this table where they had just served us the rubber chicken with the stale roll, and, you know, and you went and got your own beer out of a bucket and you sat down. And when I'm thinking, well, why do we need to do this? There's no need for this. Are we? You know what it is? It's because we sit and we watch the Academy Awards every year and we're completely enthralled with it and we totally want to be there and we want to get to our own Oscars and we're never going to have one. So let's make our own Academy Awards up and stand there like schmucks. And this thing that I went to was the most ridiculous thing. Because there were guys up there pitching their consulting businesses, and other guys were up there pitching, you know, how to make more money in advertising. And when they finally announced the winner, which, by the way, was me, I ran up, I salivated, I performed oral sex. No, I didn't. Actually, it was Rush Limbaugh. And he wasn't even there. He had the good taste not to show up. And there I am, sitting there in a sports jacket with my wife, and I'm waiting. And when I knew that I wasn't going to win, I mean, there was no way in hell I win any award. Because for a variety of reasons that I won't go into right now, but most of it has to do with oral sex and my refusal to give it. And so they gave it to somebody else. And you feel silly. Were you at this thing last year, Craig? Yes, you were. Wasn't it a little silly? Yeah. You know, and everybody wants to win an Oscar. And not everybody's going to win an Oscar. Now, Hilary Swank's going to be at this MTV Movie Award tonight. You want to know why? Because she's going to say to the crowd, she wants to be transgenerational. Hey, I won an Academy Award, but I'm just like you. I'm an MTV generation person. And really, the Academy Awards are silly. And here I am, you know, bouncing around the stage here at the MTV Awards. And don't all you schmucks wish you could win an Oscar? And they're all like, yeah, but, you know, maybe not. So you flip around the channel and you fall on, good evening, and welcome to this evening's ESPY Awards. I'm R.D. Brown, Tony Fly.
Yeah!
Tonight we will honor 50 fine athletes who have contributed not only with their athletic expertise, but also their expertise off the field in contributing monies to fine charitable organizations. And now, the left fielder for the Cleveland Indians, Billy Fanwhite. How am I, Billy? How you been?
I'm real good.
Billy actually dropped a few coins into a Santa Claus's bucket at Christmas for a total of $15.63. All right.
Yay.
Billy gets our first ESPY. Now, let's move over to Wade Boggs. He's a fine man. And Wade, you have done so much for young children. You were walking through a park one day, and some kid's plastic leg fell off, and you stuck it back, you put it on your arm and kind of danced around and made a kind of a comedy bit out of it, and everybody dug it. Thank you. Way to do it. Now, we hope you'll turn the channel, because the ESPYs blow ape. Thank you, and good night.
All right, if anybody's still listening, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And now it's time for the Phil Henry Show Uplifting Email of the Week. You know, on our program, we like to present points of view that are actually going to show us the way. lead us perhaps out of our ignorance, or at least give us a smile. Here is Phil Hendry Show intern Bud Dickman with today's uplifting email of the day. Bud, how are you?
I'm good, Mr. Henry. Here is today's uplifting email of the day.
And who is this from?
Yeah, this comes from Melissa Carney.
Go ahead.
Dear Mr. Henry, I cannot believe that you would stage something so stupid as the idiotic calling in about the Lakers tickets. Whatever you may have against retarded people such as the hearing impaired and the speech impaired, leave it to yourself. It's sad you don't have balls enough to claim this opinion as your own. You resort to having some moron call in and talk about deaf juice and other idiotic things like that, then pretend to comfort the woman what called in. It's amazing that you even have a spot on the radio. I hope that other people do not find you funny. You are sick, truly sick, gotta be fired. Sincerely, Melissa Carney.
Turn that off.
I thought you wanted uplifting music. What?
How's that an uplifting email?
Because she's being constructive criticism.
Bud, that's not an uplifting email. That woman rips me an ass. She calls me sick. She calls me an idiot.
Yeah, and she thinks you have a man call on your show.
And I don't have anybody calling into the show. I do the voices myself.
Oh, I forgot to read one more part.
What?
You know, this is a good part.
What? Go ahead.
P.S. We'd like to hear more Bud Dickman. What do you do? What do you do?
Get out of here.
All right.
Go do whatever you stupid idiots do.
Okay. I'll go make copies now.
Yeah, that's good. This is our uplifting email of the day. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. I do not have some moron calling in, Ms. Carney. I do the voices of all the morons that call this show. Except, of course, for Roger in Cincinnati. Roger?
Yeah, I'm not doing...
Huh?
I heard before about you talking about the Chris Norton button, and you're talking about sizing 3,000 women. Is that possible for Chris Norton? For any human? Wilt Chamberlain had 2,000 women, and I didn't think that was possible. Now you got a guy coming on the radio saying he's doing 3,000 women.
No.
How is that possibly possible for someone to do 3,000 women?
Yeah, okay. Adam, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Hi, Adam.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Mm-hmm.
3,000 women, dude, that's impossible.
All right, pal. Here is Todd on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Good, man.
Hey, good. Hey, I normally don't call in, but I've been for about 9 months, and that bit you just did about the SPs and all that.
Ain't that the truth?
You're killing me, dude.
Ain't that the truth, though? These awards, it's really not so much that there's too many award shows, it's that it all spins off of the same thing, Oscar jealousy.
I know. Well, you know, the funny thing is, I can't remember the last time I watched awards. I think it was back when I lived with my folks about 20 years ago. But
you don't watch the Academy Awards?
No.
See, I did.
You know, the whole red carpet thing?
Yeah.
I guess I was wishing, you know, I was cool and that popular, because I'd love to have, you know, like, a million people look.
Yeah, and the other thing, and I'm the same way, and that's why I have these violent fantasies about those red carpet. Like, I said once that I wanted to see a police riot break out during the red carpet. You know, just all of a sudden, truncheon-wielding, swinging LAPD, just, you know, nailing all these actors and actresses.
Well, I kind of wonder what the crime rate is in L.A., you know, when that thing's going on, because you got every cop in the world there, it seems.
Don't know. Yeah, well, that's, thank you. That's a good idea.
But anyway,
make
you were
a note to rob a liquor store next Academy Awards. Yeah, that's a very good point, man.
But anyway, I just want to tell you, I was laughing in the car at a red light, and I got people looking at me. I'm not on a cell phone or anything, but I got people looking at me like I'm an idiot. You had me going, man. That was
good evening, and welcome to our African American Achievement in Film Award. I'm R.D. Tony Fly Kelly, and now Angela Bassett. And it's the same. They try to mimic the glamour. And I'm not making fun of African-American artists, because God knows they need an award show, since nobody wants to give them an Oscar, except for Halle Berry, who was just another contestant on The Price is Right when she won that.
But, yeah, so, but it's all the same kind of hokum, and after a while it becomes a parody of itself, I guess, what I'm saying. But I'm glad you liked the Todd.
Let me ask you a question. Are you gonna get any flack about that Darkie Award thing? Because as soon as I heard that, I went, oh, my God, no way. No way is he, you're going to get...
Well, no, I was making a comment on how Emmy, Tony, Grammy, everything with the E, and then I guess what is the African-Americans, and tonight's Darkie goes to, you know, I don't know, you know, it could be anything. It'd be the Ebony.
There you go.
I probably
you do good work, man.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
thanks.
No problem.
Now, that's a good call. The first two having to do with how many chicks Chris Norton slept with were ill-timed, ill-considered, unfunny, badly proportioned, and just wide in the ass, I think. Lose a little weight there. Those calls need to lose some weight in the ass. 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to be doing that all night now. I'm going to go home. Good evening and welcome. Good evening and welcome to tonight's Bladder Awards. The broadcast industry, in an effort to uplift and lower and expand and yet narrow our sights, give tonight's Full Bladder Award to Billy Bartholomew, overnight jock at Q53 in Atlanta, Georgia, who was able to go take a full piss during the middle of Love Shack. And tonight's poopy goes to... Billy came in, wiping the last of the Budweiser foam from his lips, did a full air shift, hammered on a six-pack of Bud, and was able to get a full bladder release in the middle of Stay by Maurice Williams. Thank you. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, I'm going to talk to Joyce. Hi, Joyce. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. Just want to let you know I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida, and I was down on the south side cleaning my car when you started doing the Halle Berry skit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of black people down there. I had to turn you off real quick because I thought they were going to kill me.
Oh, you're kidding. Why? Why?
Because, I mean, some of it wasn't very good. It was like
wasn't very good. Well...
I mean, I listen to your show all the time, and I caught on to it at the very beginning because you advertise it very, you know, you put it right out there, but I can't believe there's still people don't get it.
Yeah, I tell them that I do the character voices, you mean?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, I've been watching these award shows down through the years, and I particularly paid attention to the award shows that are conducted by African-American artists.
Right.
Because there is a regality, there is a formality... and there is ultimately a futility about, a sadness about the need for blacks to have their own artistic awards. And I understand that they do. I understand in many ways that African-American artists have been shut out of the mainstream. But when I listen to how much energy they put into the good evening and welcome, tonight we honor, you know something...
Yes,
ultimately, the goal is for everybody to enjoy everybody's art. And mm-hmm. if we are separating according to race, I have no reason to go and watch. If a film is a black film, I have no reason to go and watch it because I'm going to assume that it's only intended for black audiences. When I went to see Malcolm X, and I was looking forward to seeing that movie like very few that I'd seen before, and Spike Lee had come out with this film because I had read his autobiography. Excuse me. I was the only white guy in the crowd. I saw it in Atlanta.
Yep.
I'm the only white guy there. Then I go to see Get on the Bus, which was another Spike Lee movie. Only white guy there. Why? Because the movie is marketed, both of those movies were marketed as films with particular attention paid to the interest of black audiences.
Right.
As opposed to, this is a great American story about a great American. This is something that everybody needs to see.
Okay. I don't know. So there you go.
Okay.
What about that North American Man Poultry Love Association? Are you,
okay. No.
All right, Joyce. Bye. See ya. Bye. Ivan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil.
Yes, hi.
I just heard a little comment you made there about the Darkie Awards, you know.
You know, the Emmy and the Tony and the Grammy and the Darkie?
Yeah. You know, what is that? You know, are you prejudiced or something?
I mean, sure.
Something
After everything I just said, you really believe I'm prejudiced, don't you?
I mean, I can't tell. I mean, I've been, you know, a lot of this stuff I listen to that you're pretty good at, but most of the, you know, the black people you come down pretty hard on. You make a lot of black comments, you know.
Like
and
what?
I'm just kind of wondering, you know, what is it?
What do you think?
Can you tell me? Does this go back to be a childhood thing or something?
My childhood thing? I don't know.
Yeah,
why do you hate
you know,
white people?
Some black guy took you, jacked
why,
you up,
well,
why
do you
dad,
hate
took
white
your money. And,
why do you hate
you know,
white people?
I think you have a problem with black folks. I really think
I think
so.
You got a problem with white folks, okay?
No, really.
You got a serious problem with whites.
I mean, honestly, what is it?
You got a, what is your problem, man? Is it you can't overcome the fact that you were born black and you can't, you're going to blame everything on a white man?
No, I'm absolutely happy with myself because, you know, I'm really successful.
No, are you going to blame everything on a white man?
But I listen to a lot of your comments and, you know.
No, you haven't listened to anything. I don't think you're very educated.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I don't. Because
anyway,
if you listen to a lot of my comments.
Some black guy done probably done kicked the living crap out of you.
No, not going to happen.
He's just upset.
Not going to happen. I beat the crap out of most black guys that I've faced.
Oh, yeah, right.
I have.
Believe me. I believe that.
No, seriously. Black guys got a lot of rep. Black guys got a rep, but they ain't too tough.
They got a what?
I said black guys have a rep, but they're not that tough.
Oh, man. I mean, I guess that's some people, I believe. You know, everybody's like that, but I'm just trying to find out if there's a
You don't want to listen to me. You don't want to. You're just rambling along. You don't want to hear
Go ahead.
You want
to listen to what you said a while ago, but it still doesn't make sense to me.
No, I don't know if anything will make sense to you, but I'll go ahead and give it a try.
Okay.
Would you like me to?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. I satirize. I don't patronize. And I don't pander. And I don't sit here and say, here's the problem with the world. We don't have an understanding of the history of African Americans and Africans in this country. The fact that enslavement has perhaps stunted their ability to be a part of the mainstream. And that in perhaps African American affirmative action is a needed thing because of the fact that there is a social stunting as well as psychological and economic. I don't do that because that is boring. It's soapboxing and nobody's going to listen to it. What I do is try to turn it around and satirize attitudes. And I do it through humor. I also sometimes poke fun at the black community themselves for taking themselves perhaps a little too seriously in some areas, for separating themselves perhaps from the mainstream. I personally think that it's a sad thing that African Americans need to give themselves awards because they've not been allowed into the mainstream of the artistic world. But by the same token, after a while, if you're giving yourself an award and congratulating yourself on your artistic achievement, I just used the example of Malcolm X and Get on the Bus. How many white folks have gone to see those movies because they weren't marketed toward white audiences? Or
right.
at least
You're
marketed
right
as, about, as mainstream movies?
You're absolutely right about that.
Well, I went to see both those movies. I'm a big Spike Lee fan. But I'm not going to pander or patronize and say all the politically correct things that ultimately will get people to say that I'm a really great guy. They won't listen because it's boring and I'll be out of a job. I've got to turn...
I tell you what, Phil, but I love your show. I listen to it all the time.
But I'm an asshole.
Sometimes you are, but you have a really good show. You know, you can make people laugh, and you got some good stuff. You have some interesting things going on all the time. You're always talking about some good subjects, and I really like your show. You make it right there.
I'm busting on Muslims, is it?
No.
All right.
I just kind of had a darky thing on my mind, and I just wanted to talk to you about it, and I just wanted to see.
Well, I mean, but I bust on whites. We do our cracker bits too. Probably more so the other way because I'm a white boy, but I'm just a product of who and what I am, trying to make it in a cruel and harsh world.
Right.
Okay, Ivan.
I appreciate it.
All right.
It.
Thanks for
you
calling.
Take care now. All right, guys.
Bye, bye. All that stuff I just told Ivan was bullcrap. I hate blacks. All right, now, 1-800-449... I'm joking, and you know it. 1-800-449-8686. Now, getting back to the World Cup. Oh, God. Hey, I did see one piece of World Cup news that excited me. And let me just say now, France, your soccer team sucks.
Oh, God, was that sweet. Hey, France, your soccer team blows ape. I just saw where you lost to Senegal and you just tied, and you may have your asses bounced out of the World Cup tournament before you can say, Sacre Bleu. You guys suck at soccer. I never knew that America was better at soccer than France, but guess what? America is better at soccer than France. You suck. Did you read about it? Not that I could care, and I was just sort of boringly going through, oh, God, the World Cup. France loses 1-0. Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! And by the way, the United States beat Portugal 3-2, and that doesn't excite me either, other than the fact that it may keep the Saudi Arabians out, too. Otherwise, I could care less. I could care whether we win, whether we lose. I think if America wins, you know what I want? I want America to win the World Cup only because it'll burn those Saudi Arabians' ass. It'll really burn them down there because they got the big soccer. You know, they got a big push. They don't like anything Western, you know. They hate all the Westerners, but boy, they play that soccer and that cricket pretty good, don't they? Get a load of Pakistan, all them Muslims, and they still play that cricket big time, even though they think the West is just a debauched, degenerated pile. And in Iran, you know the big sport in Iran? Lacrosse. Here's the problem with the Saudis, man. They're no good in the World Cup, but by God, they play good on sand. They're playing sand soccer down there. But let me just say it again because this feels good. France, you suck at soccer. Why don't you try something? Why don't you try baseball?
I would never try baseball. It's an American sport. Yeah, well, it looks like you're going to have to do it. Why would it? Because your soccer blows. How dare you say this about France, which is the number one in soccer. We won the World Cup. And with, oh, yeah, let me take a pee in your World Cup. How dare you say that?
And these periwinkles? They ain't too good, man.
What do you say? French seafood is the best.
And these Normandy oysters? I'd rather choke. Give me them Apalachicola jobs, baby. Some of those, you know, that Chesapeake Bay action. Bug off with these Normandy oysters. It just tastes like somebody ate them and threw them up.
You would be sorry, you American. I would speak French the next time.
That's fine. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
And now, Sunday Morning Public Affairs, a service of the University of North Dakota and the University of North Dakota Agriculture Department. Here now is your host, Raleigh Jeffries. And good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning Public Affairs. With us here is Dean Stanton. Dean is with the North American Man Poultry Love Association. I'm a little confused.
Why?
You in other words, you love to eat chicken?
No, I have sex with chickens.
Jesus.
Well, you see, now you're being racist.
Well, how am I being what do you mean I'm being racist? You have sex with chickens?
Yes, and I...
That's not racist. I'm revolted by it.
Well, I don't... I have a right, see. I have a right.
Well, I see you brought one with you.
Right. This is my wife. What, you got a problem?
Okay, so that's your wife.
Yeah.
And the carton of eggs?
Our firstborn.
Okay.
This is Bobby, Susie, Eddie, Mary, Tanya. Well, I don't know. I didn't even name all of them because there's 12. Try... Imagine that. Can you...
What are you talking about?
Well... Imagine if you spit out 12 kids. I got to name all these eggs? Forget it. I'm going to name 6 of them and make omelets out of the rest.
All right.
Doesn't sound like your wife's too happy about it. Well, she'll get it. She'll get used to it. This has been Sunday Morning Public Affairs, brought to you by the University of North Dakota Agriculture Department. I got to get out of this job. This is Channel 4. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Here is Doug. Hello, Doug.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Good.
Good. Hey, listen, I wanted to let you know that I work at a collection agency here in Colorado, and we didn't start collecting a lot of money until we started using different voices. And one of the voices that I got was from your show, and it was incredible. It was like it was the pissed off Chicano that talks like this, and you know he's Mr.
Here is Jim on the Phil Hendry Show. Jim.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
Hey, if you're going to do something about a PP, maybe you can do like the best spontaneous urination in a comedy support role.
Who would you nominate?
Huh?
Who would you nominate?
Oh, I haven't the foggiest idea. But, hey,
Well, there's, I can't tell you. There's been so much urinating in movies lately that, you know what, it's a good one.
Well,
no, there have been a lot of people. It seems to me I've been seeing a lot of people peeing on screen lately.
Well, it would be more of a sight gag than anything else.
Right,
well.
Right.
But one of the things I wanted to call is I know you're a prejudiced man, and I'm as prejudiced as you are. I hate everything French. French sucks. And second of all, I want to make sure that everybody knows that they got to get their backstage pass. And as much as I hate your politics, I love your comedy.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
All right,
thank
pal. That was President Bush calling, and it's nice of him to check in. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Hey, look at this. Apparently there was a scavenger hunt, and the kids got into trouble because here's the list. This was a scavenger hunt, I think, in Massachusetts, and here's the list of the stuff that they were supposed to get. Now, you tell me which ones were the bad ones. A bowling ball, and they blacked out names, so I'll just say give so-and-so, if it's a name. A bowling ball, give so-and-so a back massage, make out in front of judges, a brick from Brookline High, get naked in front of judges, burn a history textbook, class of 2001 yearbook, kiddie pool, chug a beer, move on baseball card, burn a Nets, Yankees, or Rams jersey, your little brother's toothbrush, kiss judge so-and-so, kidnap little so-and-so and little so-and-so, crap in a bag, Mercedes hood ornament, animal porn, shave eyebrows, a dreadlock, shave your head, napkin dispenser from Papa Gino's, picture of your name in graffiti, newspaper stand, eat mayonnaise, eat a stick of butter, deep throat a banana. Well, there you go. That sounds like a hell of a scavenger hunt to me. And anybody that was able to do all of that should either be put in jail or preferably a medal award for the rest of their lives, or be named Homeland Security Chief. Because anyone that can do that is an extraordinary human being, either mentally ill or they should be in Bush's cabinet. I don't know which. I'll bet you Cheney can do all of this. I'm kidding about that. Which member of Bush's cabinet can deep throat a banana, eat a stick of butter, eat mayonnaise, and get his head shaved and get a dreadlock? Give us a call. Which Academy Award winner did this after this year's Academy Awards? Deep-throated a banana and ate a stick of butter. Was it Halle Berry, Denzel Washington? Down through the years, we've had many great Nobel Prize winners. But did you know that Dr. Ryan Oveleaf, who won the Nobel Prize for Physics, ate a stick of butter and deep-throated a banana the night he found out he'd won the Nobel Prize for Physics? Give us a call with your history's odd facts. Mother Teresa is a tremendous, tremendous human being, will be long remembered for the wonderful humanitarian things she did for the people of India. But it's a little-known fact that in her spare time, she used to eat mayonnaise and deep-throat bananas. Yes, it's all today on Information is Good. Of course, Margaret Thatcher, when she wasn't working hard on pan-European policy, used to deep-throat sticks of butter and shave her eyebrows.
We are thinking of tonight some of the great African-American artists that have gone before us. The wonderful Paul Robeson, who, when he wasn't making his wonderful films, used to crap in a bag and watch animal porn. I'm joking, and that is not racist. That is simply just using names and throwing them into a situation. Okay, all right, now here. Now I'm going to make fun of a white guy. Here we go. And, of course, we all remember Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, a wonderful man, a man who gave so much
But when he wasn't out talking about the gospel and preaching God's words, he would eat mayonnaise, burn history books, and crap in a bag. It wasn't as funny. But he was Jewish, not white. What do you mean he was Jewish, not white? Look at these ignoramuses I got working for me on this silly, stupid show called
The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. Well, good for you kids there in Massachusetts. It's good to know that you are being young, you're being free. You're not letting those adults tell you what to do. You go right ahead and walk up to anybody's Mercedes and rip the hood ornament off. I'm sure they'll just be so pleased. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Pick up a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. And, of course, the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD can be purchased online as well. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. We'll be right back.